Fox blocked by Hart. Fox couldn't grab it. Who wants it? Towns and the Knicks. 5-point lead. Brunson shakes him off. Swings for Hart. Five to shoot. Hart gonna do it himself. Josh Hart connects from long range. The New York Knicks are NBA Cup champions.
You're tuned in to You Better You Bet with Nick Costos and the crew on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Go, New York. Go, New York. Go. Iron Eagle, Stan Van, Dwayne Wade with the call last night on Amazon Prime. I'll say, I think Amazon does a pretty good job. Taylor Rooks, Steve Nash, Taylor Rooks, Blake Griffin, Dirk Nowitzki, Taylor Rooks, Udonis Haslam, Taylor Rooks. Awesome win last night for the Knicks. NBA Cup champions. Jalen Brunson, your NBA Cup MVP. And perhaps that's where you, the listener, you, the viewer, think I'm going with this, right? Who do I give the most credit to for the New York Knicks winning the NBA Cup? The answer is actually not Jalen Brunson. And it's not OG Anunoby, who was magnificent last night. It was probably the best Knick last night was OG Anunoby. And Anunoby has been awesome throughout this. Was sick against the Raptors, nice game against the Magic, and he was fantastic last night against the San Antonio Spurs. The New York Knick that deserves the most credit is not a player. It's the head coach, Mike Brown. You know, also our video producer. Mike Brown is the figure that deserves the most credit for the New York Knicks winning the NBA Cup. And this is why, and I got a lot of crap for it on social media and really from a bunch of friends of mine. When I said, when it looked like, really like when before the Knicks even lost to Indiana in the Eastern Conference Final, I said the Knicks need to move on from Tom Thibodeau. Whether they win this series or not, I didn't expect them to beat the Thunder, even if they had played. I'm sure they would have lost. They didn't even beat Indiana. Just saying. You remember, back in May, I'm saying the New York Knicks need to move on from Tom Thibodeau. And the reason why, the offense was stagnant. It was way too much hero ball. And for as good as Jalen Brunson is, and he's, I think he's actually even better than we all think he is. For as good as he is, and this is not meant to be an insult, what I'm about to say. He's not Kobe Bryant. So like running like the Kobe offense with Jalen Brunson, like I don't like it. I don't think it's the best way to run an offense for the New York Knicks. The offense was stagnant, and he ran the starters into the ground and refused to play the bench and refused to play the young guys. Think about the fourth quarter last night. Knicks outscored. It's a tight game until the fourth, and that's when the Knicks pull away. 35-19 in the fourth. Mitchell Robinson was an absolute monster last night on the glass. And he proved Victor Wembanyama right. When Victor Wembanyama said yesterday in an interview with Chris Haynes hours before the game that the Knicks are the most physical team in the league. You watch Mitchell Robinson play and offensive rebound the ball last night, you believe it. 10 rebounds in the fourth quarter. 10 for Mitchell Robinson. Jordan Clarkson, 8 points in the fourth off the bench. Tyler Kolek had as many fourth quarter points for the Knicks last night as Jalen Brunson to win the NBA Cup and had an awesome dished and an assist to OG Anunoby in the corner, which is OG's specialty, the original gangsta, for a corner three that helped win this game for the Knicks. I'm not joking right now with what I'm about to say. And I think Tom Thibodeau is a really good coach. And I said that back in May. Like, Tom Thibodeau at some point will take over, like, the Sacramento Kings and lead them to respectability and into the play-in in year one. He's an excellent coach. Not a good coach, an excellent coach. If Tom Thibodeau, even the thought of playing Tyler Kolek in a huge game in the fourth quarter in the waning moments would probably have caused him, like, to have a stroke. Like, it would have been like convulsing on the ground at the thought, I have to play at the rookie? The second-year guy? No way. I'm not doing it. Brunson, get out there with your broken leg. Like, no, Jalen, you've already played 48 out of 48. No, you're playing 50 out of 48 tonight. No, we're not putting Tyler Kolek in the game. This is exactly what we asked for. It's exactly, as a Knicks fan, as a Knicks better, this is what you want. This was the vision when they moved on from Tom Thibodeau. I give Mike Brown all the credit in the world. Like, this is it. An offense with more movement. Keep the defensive physicality and the physicality on the glass and play the youngsters and play the bench and give your starters a break. A++ for Mike Brown. As for the losers last night, the San Antonio Spurs, I thought they were very impressive in a losing effort. Victor Wembanyama only played 25 minutes in the game as he continues to work himself back from injury. And, like, the game ultimately doesn't matter. They would have liked to have won, I'm sure. But, like, you can't risk Victor Wembanyama getting hurt for a game that ultimately doesn't matter. So, he plays 25 minutes in the game. I actually, my big Wemby take is, he actually needs to be more aggressive. Like, it's so impressive watching him shoot threes and, like, these long pull-up twos. It's like, okay, buddy. You're 7'5". And you can't teach that. And he's a certified G and a bona fide stud. And he needs to get down in the lane and dunk the basketball. I mean, this would be like Brad Pitt, like not going to sitting at the bar and waiting for women to come up to him and like looking at, like, trying to find girls on Tinder like me back in the day. It's a misuse of his physical talent and ability. Like, why? Wemby doesn't need to shoot threes. Like, guards need to shoot threes. Wemby's 7'5". Go dunk the basketball, dude. I think Wemby needs to be more aggressive. And he can certainly do that as he gets healthier and over the course of the season. For me, where I would feel especially good about the San Antonio Spurs, and why last night, even in a losing effort, last night emboldened me in my thought that the Spurs are better than the Lakers, even though the Lakers have shorter odds to win the West and win the NBA title, and I give the Spurs a much better chance to beat the Thunder than I do the Lakers. Like, the Thunder will annihilate the Lakers if they play. You can make a case that the Spurs will give OKC at least a series. I don't know if they'll win. Give them a series. That trio of guards is something else for San Antonio. And look, like, we know De'Aaron Fox is really good. We've seen him over the course of his career. Be good. Fast. Good shooter. I think he's awesome. Stephon Castle won Rookie of the Year a couple years ago. Like, he's great. I thought he was great last night. And how about Dylan Harper? Second pick in the draft. 21 points. D'ing up Jalen Brunson in the fourth quarter of the NBA Cup Final. I was even impressed, and I don't, like, watch basketball with a keen enough eye to say, oh, like, I didn't like this coach's, like, out of timeout, like, play construction. Like, I don't watch basketball like that, and I'm honest about that. But I did love Mitch Johnson's got that dog in him, huh? That guy wakes up angry. Like, I wake up and try to have a little water when I wake up. It just kind of makes me feel healthier. He's slugging down piss and vinegar, man. He's pissed, and I like that. Fiery. I like that from Mitch Johnson. And now you pair Wemby with, like, those guards and this coach and some vets like Harrison Barnes. I like the Spurs. Now, what remains to be seen, like, can San Antonio, forget about Oklahoma City, can they crack the Rockets-Nuggets tier at some point this season? Remains to be seen. But I think, you know, if we're going to grade San Antonio right now, are they closer to the Thunder timeline or to, like, your classic rebuilding timeline? They're closer to the Thunder timeline. Now, the Thunder timeline started with them being the one seed a couple of years ago. San Antonio's not going to be the one seed. But they're closer to the OKC timeline than they are a regular timeline. And a lot of that obviously has to do with Wemby. But don't discount those guards, that trio of guards, the veteran De'Aaron Fox, and the two young studs, Stephon Castle and Dylan Harper. You better you bet on this Wednesday. Let's talk some National Football League. Femi will join me in a little bit, and we'll talk about this Dolphins-Bengals game in the betting market. I get a lot wrong on this show. I get a lot wrong in my everyday life. Just ask my wife. She would love to tell you. I don't think you could get something more right than I did yesterday. So I always tell you when I get stuff wrong, I drilled it yesterday with this Miami Dolphins situation. I told you Dolphins were going to bench Tua Tagovailoa. I felt it was obvious. And I told you that, you know, obviously it was going to be Zach Wilson or Quinn Ewers. I even speculated that it would be Ewers and not Zach Wilson. And I told you that there's no way that tomorrow, that once this is announced, the Bengals are going to be only minus 2.5 on the road at Miami. Lo and behold, here's Quinn Ewers. We bypass Zach Wilson, and the point spread's 4. Femi and I will break down how to bet that game now at current price in a little bit. And this now sets up a fascinating game on Sunday, both from a betting perspective and a real-life perspective. And we'll get to the bets in a second. But I want everyone to think of things with this game in these terms, right? There's so much heat right now on Dolphins head coach Mike McDaniel. Deservedly so. And yesterday on the show, I laid out the blueprint for Mike McDaniel keeping his job. For me, that's he shows that he's kind of like baby Kyle Shanahan. And he can take basically a quarterback not named Tua Tagovailoa, in this instance, Quinn Ewers, and do like what Kyle Shanahan can do. Take like your curtain jerking jabroni, 7th round quarterback, like literally Brock Purdy, and turn him into something at least decent. And like he doesn't have to be as good as Purdy, obviously, but have a functional offense with a quarterback that's not named Tua Tagovailoa. And even if the Dolphins lose on Sunday, which I think they will, to Cincinnati, even if they lose, I think that if the offense looks functional over the final 3 games, my sense is that's enough for Mike McDaniel to keep his job. The most interesting coaching story that will come out of this game on Sunday, for me, is not on the Miami sideline. It's on the Bengals. Because it's heating up. The seat's heating up for Zach Taylor. Bengals head coach Zach Taylor asked today by the news media in Cincinnati about a reported contract extension that he signed through 2027. He declined to answer, and in kind of snippy fashion, like basically deflected the question to Bengals ownership. Wow, I'm sure Bengals ownership can't wait to speak to the media about this, Zach. Joe Burrow is pissed. How do we know that? Because he tells anyone with ears and a microphone that he's not happy. Said it last week, that he's not having fun. Which clearly is a shot to the organization. If you want me long term here, you don't want me to make any waves. Can we just be a serious football team, please? That's what Joe Burrow wants. I don't think he wants out of Cincinnati. He doesn't strike me as that type of guy. Basically has become someone like a recluse from the media. I'm not insulting him when I say that. I think it's kind of true. Like, I think he just wants to like live his life and do whatever he does off camera, which I'm sure is really fun, and win football games. And right now, like, he ain't winning football games. And last year he played at an MVP level and they didn't even make the playoffs. Cincinnati is 4-10. And yes, Joe Burrow missed a lot of time this season. But you see across the NFL every year, and we'll use Kyle Shanahan, right? Like, it's not just Brock Purdy that missed time for the Niners. They lost their best 2 defensive players, like 2 Hall of Famers in Fred Warner and Nick Bosa. Lost Ricky Pearsall. Lost George Kittle. Didn't make a difference. The beat goes on. They keep on winning. They're going to the postseason. Cincinnati loses Joe Burrow, and the whole thing falls apart. And now Zach Taylor starting to answer questions from the Bengals media about his job status. And the quarterback is not happy. And the quarterback is the franchise. And if you had to fire one, you're never firing the franchise quarterback. Never. My guess is you, the listener or viewer, you are thinking about this game on Sunday as if the Bengals win and Mike McDaniel might lose his job. I would encourage you to think of it in these terms instead. If the Cincinnati Bengals lose this game, Zach Taylor could lose his. And I don't think it would be this coming Monday. I'm not saying that. But they lose this game, and they're finishing the year no better than 6-11. I think there's a chance he's out. And if that happens, you know, Femi and I this year in the offseason, we were anti-Bengals, right? Wanted nothing to do with Cincinnati, even with a healthy Joe Burrow. They hire a different coach? Burrow's healthy? Oh, yeah. We can have a conversation about the 2026 Cincinnati Bengals. On the other side, Femi joins me. We'll talk about the Bengals-Dolphins market. And perhaps we will do a dramatic reading of the lyrics of Baby, It's Cold Outside here on a Wednesday on You Better You Bet.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.